Lord, thank you for the joy and excitement that we feel right here in this room and the joy of Christmas. Lord, may it spread not only in this family of folks right here, but throughout our community and our world during this Christmas season. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, have you learned that there are some things in life that just aren't for everyone? In 1891, at a YMCA in Massachusetts, James Naismith created the game of basketball. The objective of the game was to throw the basketball into fruit baskets that were nailed in the lower railings at the gym. Now, eventually, James Naismith became the men's basketball coach of the University of Kansas. In the 9 years that the inventor of basketball coached at the University of Kansas, James Naismith's record was 55 wins and 60 losses. He's the only Kansas basketball coach to finish with a losing record. And that seems a bit ironic for the inventor of the game of basketball. It reminded me that not all things are for all people. It was right for him to invent basketball, but apparently not right for him to coach basketball. But contrary to that, there is something for all people. We call it Christmas. I want to share with you a message today entitled, Christmas is for All People. Now, I hope you received a bulletin on the way in. You should have an outline there. Take the outline out. You can follow along the message. Fill some of those blanks in. So this Christmas, I want to focus on just three words about the Christmas story. The three words are for all people. It's mentioned twice in the Christmas story. At the very first Christmas, the angels announced to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be what? For all people." Now, do you notice any restrictions in that verse? Any qualifications in that verse? No. Any limitations in that verse? None. Any conditions in that verse? Absolutely not. That's because Christmas is for all people. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 34, where the story is told there. It says, "I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal to the nations." Now, why is that important for us to understand? It's because God doesn't play favorites. God loves and comes for all people at Christmas. And so I want us this morning to look at five things that we learn about God being for all people. Number one, God shines his goodness on all people. A lot of people don't get this. They think that God is only good to people who are good. In other words, if you're good, you get the goods. If you're bad, then God's going to be bad to you. It's a performance-driven idea that God only smiles on me if I'm doing good things. But this is nothing less than confusing Jesus and Santa Claus. Santa Claus is the guy who says, "Make a list, I'm going to check it twice, I'm going to find out who's naughty or nice." It's performance-driven theology. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this in the book of Job, Job 25, verse 3. God's light shines where? On all people. Matthew 5, 45. He causes his sun to shine on all people, both good and evil. And he sends rain to both those who do right and to those who do wrong. What's this verse saying? He's saying God doesn't play favorites with his grace or with his goodness. The theological term for this is common grace. It's the grace that God gives to every person in the world. God is good to all. God is good to people who rebel against him, who don't believe in him. God is good to people who ignore him their entire lives. God is good to you. Whether you understand it or not, or whether you accept it or not, or reject it or not, whether you even realize it or not, God is good to all people. And what the Bible teaches is the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. The world teaches you this: you get what you deserve in life. You ever heard that? You ever thought that? You ever believed that? You get what you deserve in life. If you're not getting the goods, then you're just not working hard enough. You just need to buck up and get it in gear and try harder, because you get what you deserve in life. I dare say most of us here, all of us here, are glad we're not getting what we deserve in life. What the Bible teaches is just the exact opposite of that. At Christmas, God's goodness came in human form, in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And God doesn't play favorites. He shines his goodness on all people, regardless of your background. Now, somewhere in the middle of the sermon, maybe toward the end, I'm going to expect you to say those three words with me: for all people. That was your chance to practice, and all of you blew it. Just hang with me. Secondly, God showers his love on all people. Wow, this is going to be a rough crowd. God has never made a person he doesn't love. If your heart is beating right now, God loves you. God made you to love you. The whole reason you're alive is to be loved by God, to experience his love and his grace and his forgiveness in all of its fullness. Do you remember how old you were when, I think it was the government made manufacturers start adjusting shower heads to conserve water? You remember that? I remember the shower heads before that happened. Man, you could get just a bucket load of water streaming everywhere. And then they did this conservation thing. And next thing you know, the shower heads have a little thing up in them, and you got just this little drip of water. How can you take a shower in that? I did what some of you did. I took it apart, pulled that piece out. I like to be blasted by shower water. That little trickle of a water, it's not a shower, it's a nuisance. It's a hassle. It's a disappointment. God showers his love on you. He doesn't dribble it out a little bit at a time. He pours out his love to you. You ever been down to Folly when there's a hurricane offshore? I probably wasn't too smart when I came to live in this area, and I don't surf, but I do boogie board. And do you remember Hurricane Bertha? Anybody remember Hurricane Bertha? It was offshore, and we were getting pretty good waves, and I went down to the beach to do some boogie board. Son, you have never seen waves at Folly if you hadn't seen them coming off a hurricane right offshore. There were three of us down there. That told me something. That's before they stationed the police to stop you from going. They just go on if you want to. Big waves. God showers us with his love. He drenches us in his love. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 42, verse 8. Each day the Lord pours out his unfailing love upon me. He pours it out. I eat salad with salad dressing. But I'm not one of those who dips my fork into the salad dressing, which is on the side of the plate, and then gets veggies and eats it. No, I tell the waiter, what do you want? I want ranch. Bring me the bottle. I want all that I can get. God pours out his love on you all the time. Let me be clear about this. God loves you unconditionally, but that doesn't mean he approves of everything you do. Unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional approval. Anybody who's out here who's a parent, an aunt, uncle, grandparent, you love your kids unconditionally, but you don't like everything they do, right? You don't approve of everything they do, but you still love them. Folks, no matter what you do, you can't make God stop loving you. Because his love isn't based on performance. It's based on who God is, not who you are or what you do. How do you know God loves you? Because he does two things for you. He pays attention and he has action. First of all, love pays attention. Fill that in. Love pays attention. There's no moment in your life that God is not paying attention to you. He saw you when you were conceived in your mother's womb. He watched every point of your life from conception. He watched you take your first breath. He's seen every up, every down, every good, every bad, every ugly. He's never had his eyes off of you. He pays attention in detail to your life. Attention is one of the greatest gifts you can give anyone. When I pay attention to you, it means you matter to me. It means I value you. It means you're worth spending part of my time on. Because your time is your life. And God pays attention to you. Always. Job chapter 23, verse 10. God knows every way I take, is concerned about it, and pays attention to it. Love pays attention. Secondly, love takes action. When I love you, I make your problem my problem, your agenda my agenda. You know what Jesus did? He made your problem his problem before you even knew you had a problem. In fact, before you were ever born, he solved your problem by coming into the world and dying on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. Love is action. He came to be our Savior. Luke 2:11. Today, in the city of David, a Savior for you has been born. He is Christ the Lord. We all need a Savior. Why? Because we've all sinned. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. We're all selfish from time to time. God took action to show you his love by sending his son. Number three, God shares the pain of all people. Jesus is the suffering Savior. He feels what you feel. We have a God who understands and sympathizes with us. God is not some distant force out there. He's not some callous being. He enters into your life. He enters into your pain. He's not just aware of it. He cares about it. He feels it. He shares it. Look at Hebrews 4:15. Jesus sympathizes with our weakness, since he faced all of the same temptations we do. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned, so he can identify with the times you've been abandoned. If you've ever been betrayed by anybody, Jesus knows what betrayal is like. If you've ever had somebody be unfaithful to you, Jesus knows what it's like to have people be unfaithful to him. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood and criticized falsely. He knows what it feels like to feel the pain of loneliness. He experienced that. He understands bigotry and prejudice and racism. He knows what it means to be an outcast, to be put down, to be misunderstood, to be discriminated against. He went through that in his life. And when you go through that, he understands. He gets it. He understands physical pain. Because he came to earth in human form. And ultimately he died on the cross for us. Did you know that God keeps a record of every hurt you've ever been through? That's how much he loves you. Look at Psalm 56, verse 8. You, God, keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle, and you have recorded each one in your book. God shares the pain of all people. Now, I don't want to be a downer near Christmas, but I'm glad about that. Sometimes I'm not sure people really hear what I mean, really hear, sense what I feel, but I know God does. And he's got a record of it, and he cares. The fourth thing that God has done, God has sacrificed his son for all people. 1 Timothy 2:6. Jesus sacrificed himself for all people to free them from their sins. In the Bible, the symbol of Jesus sacrificing himself is called the sacrificial lamb. And this symbol is used because lambs are harmless. They never hurt anybody. They're not predators. They're innocent. They don't do anything wrong. Jesus hadn't hurt anybody. He didn't deserve to die. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was actually sinless. He was the Son of God. Yet he was sacrificed by evil men. But he laid down his life willingly as the Lamb of God so our sins could be forgiven. In fact, one day Jesus was walking down the street and John the Baptist saw him. In John 1:29, look what it says. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Christmas, folks, the birth of Jesus without the cross where Jesus died. Christmas is irrelevant without understanding Jesus lived out his life. He died for us. When he died, he took our sins upon himself. He was actually being punished for what we've done. Everything that you've done wrong, everything I did wrong, when he died on the cross, he was taking the punishment that we deserve. As a matter of fact, the Bible says one of the things Jesus said from the cross is he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, there's a promise in the Bible that says God never leaves us, right? He's always with us. But he left, he forsook his only son. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe it was that time when Jesus said that, that God just left Jesus. Because God couldn't be around sin. And at some point in time, we talk about Jesus died for our sins. At some point in time, the punishment of those sins was laid upon Jesus. And when it happened, God had to close his eyes. God said he would never leave us, but he left his son. So we could have a relationship with God. If Jesus had just stayed a baby in the manger, we wouldn't be here. He grew up, showed us God's love. And number five, God will share his home with all who believe and receive him. This is an amazing thing. We weren't created just to live 80, 90 years on this earth and then die. No, you're far more valuable to God than that. God has some long-range plans for you. He made all of us to live forever. One day our heart's going to stop. That's the end of your heart, but it's not the end of you. You're going to go on and live eternity for trillions and trillions of years. And God wants you to live there as a part of his family. That's why he sent Jesus to die for our sins so we could be with him for all eternity. He's created an eternal home for his family, those who choose to love him and trust him and receive Christ as their Savior. We call that home heaven. And here's the really good news about Christmas, folks. This offer is open to what? All people. All people. John 1:12. To all who received him and believed in his name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. I want you to underline two really simple words in that verse right there. Underline received and believed. God made it simple so no one could say it was too hard to understand. You believe who Jesus is, God's son. He died on the cross. He came back to life through the resurrection. You believe it, and then you receive it. You believe it, you acknowledge it happened, it's true, and you get it from here to here by receiving it. How do you get eternal life? How do you get the assurance of heaven? Believe Jesus died for my sins, you receive him into your heart. I remember when I made a commitment to Christ, it was July of 2019. It was in July, 1976. July of 1976, I learned enough that I knew what I wanted, and I really didn't know how to pray, and I wondered for a while, did that count? You ever think, does that one count? Maybe I need to be saved again. Did that one count? The more I learned, my first one counted. It was real simple. God, I don't understand everything, but I do know you gave me your son. So as much as I understand at this point, Jesus, I ask you to come to my heart and forgive me. It was simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. God wants you to be saved. Matter of fact, look what it says in Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might be saved, could be saved, has a good chance of being saved. No. You will be saved. That is a promise from God. It is an invitation for everyone to say, yes, I want you, Jesus, into my heart. Some of you here this morning, maybe many of us, have already said yes to that. I'm guessing there might be a few who haven't said yes to that. It'd be a great day for you to do so, thinking about Christmas, Jesus coming, die on the cross. Wow, what a time to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's good to know that God has already checked the box yes for you and for me. And he never changes his mind. Whether you're doing well walking with God or you're far away from God, whether you're struggling or things are going well in your life, God, do you love me? God, do you forgive me? God, are you going to be with me forever? God, are you going to bless my life? God, are you going to guide me in my life? God, are you going to make me more and more like Jesus by changing some things in my life? Yes, 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 yes. He's already checked the box. I put a prayer in your outline. Look there with me. It's a for all people prayer. Now, I want you to pray this if you want to. You don't have to. And it's not the only prayer that you can pray. It's not the only prayer that you can use when you talk to God. But it is one you can follow or model after. Follow along. It says, Dear God, thank you for your goodness to me. And if you want to pray this in your mind and in your heart right now, I want you to do that. Dear God, thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for loving me and caring about every detail of my life. Thank you for sharing my pain. Most of all, thank you for sending Jesus at Christmas to save me. I believe he died on the cross for me, and I want to receive him as my Savior. Please forgive my sins and accept me into your family. I want to learn to love you and trust you and follow you for the rest of my life on earth. Then I want to join you in heaven forever. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer or a similar prayer in your life previously, maybe this morning is just a great time for you just to focus on thanking God that you're aware, personally aware of the fact that he checked the box yes for you. Maybe you've never prayed anything like this before. You've never made a commitment to Christ. Then if you prayed this in your mind and in your heart as we were reading through it and you meant it, then I want to encourage you to realize you just allowed God to check the yes box in your life, the yes box to give you his love, the yes box that Jesus died for you and your sins are forgiven by God through Christ, the yes box that God is always going to be with you. He wants to grow you and bless you. That is now yours if that's what you asked him. Now, if you'd like to let us know that, you can do so. Charles and I will be here this morning, and if you want to come talk to us about that, you can just let us know, hey, I did this. You can put that on here. Matter of fact, there's a list on the back of the Connect card where you can check, I made a decision to follow Christ, or I need prayer. You can check that card and put this card in the offering boxes around the sanctuary as you leave or during the response time, and the pastors get this, and we will pray for you and for the prayer requests you put there. Maybe you just need to tell someone that you did that, a friend. Maybe you came to church with someone, and you need to let them know, hey, I made that commitment to Jesus this morning. We want to rejoice with you. We want to be happy with you. We want to help you grow from this point forward in your life. All right? Let's pray together. God, thank you at Christmas time that we're reminded that Christmas is for all people. And thank you that we're included in that. Thank you that you came for us, that you sent Jesus to be born into this world, to live his life in this world, and to die on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. And all we need to do is just say, God, that's what I want. Jesus, come into my heart, change my life, forgive me of my sins. And God, we make that simple commitment to you that will change our lives forever, that will give us a home in heaven. What a great Christmas present you have for us, and all we need to do is believe and receive. And I pray that people will do that. And for those who have done that, maybe just a renewal of thanks to you for what you've done at Christmas time. Thank you, God, that you are the God who is for all people. Now bless our response time, Father, people who need to think about where they are with you, maybe family issues, whatever's going on. They can just have this time to concentrate, pray, take some action steps. Bless it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, today we lift up a very special person that is now in an emergency room, one of our family right here, and we pray for the doctors and nurses as they are there. Lord, we lift up anyone who's traveling this week, particularly with a lot of movement around. Just give safe travel. Give us this joy of Christmas, the peace, the love, the hope that we don't deserve, but you give it to us anyway, the greatest gift of all. And we thank you for that. May the true meaning and the true purpose of Christmas just spring forth in our life. May we invite others to come and experience it as well. And today, Lord, if anyone prayed that prayer and really meant it for the very first time, if they've made that commitment to you, may they find someone and share it with them. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.